listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode number 24, Monday Night Quarterback Week 3 edition. I am your host, Dan Klaskins, back at you again this Monday night during some Monday Night Football action, looking back at the week that was a very crazy week number 3. Also, taking a look ahead, our first look at that waiver wire as we turn the page to Week 4. As always, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. The home for it is GetSportsInfo.com. That's also where you will find my blog. I blog about all things related to sports, as you can imagine. You can also get all of our Fox 19 highlight stuff there. You can get the rankings, the Get Sports Info GSI cheat sheet in its 15th season, published now by James Rapine. His studs, duds, and sleepers, my office pool picks weekly there as well. And what a great week it was. Some of my fantasy teams did really well. Some of them did pretty bad. I had a couple weeks this week where I had like the second highest score in the league and lost. Those are always the worst. But it was a wild and wacky week number 3 indeed. A lot of home underdogs taking care of business and winning straight up. And I sort of had that feeling when I looked at this week's slate, and I wish I would have gone with it, because every season we get one of these early weeks where you have a lot of home dogs and they end up winning games all at once, and it sends this ripple effect around the league. And I certainly think that was this week's edition. But what's nice is we're starting to get a larger sample size as well. Now 3 weeks in, I think we're starting to get a better taste of some things. Still some things to develop now. And you always want to just stay dialed in. Try not to spend too much time looking at the past. Learn from it. But more importantly, focus on how that can help you in the future. And that's what you got to do right now. And some of the tools you can do it to help you win: PFF Edge and Elite Pro Football Focus, the number one single site in fantasy sports. This, according to the FSTA, the last 3 years. Happy to have my work there now. And you can catch my articles, my Tuesday Stock Watch article, my Trend Spotter article on Wednesdays there, as well as my rankings, living now exclusively at Pro Football Focus. And I've got some great deals. If you want to get in and subscribe to their Elite or Edge packages, do so on the site there, GetSportsInfo.com, under Fantasy. If you do it through one of those links, I'll give you my email coach service, which you can also get by itself for less than $1 a week. I'll help you set the lineups. Check it all out, GetSportsInfo.com. But in my latest article going up on Tuesday at Pro Football Focus, some of the players on the rise, some of them down there. The one I want to highlight here on the podcast tonight is a guy that I have sliding down, and that's Browns running back Isaiah Crowell. Here was a guy that pretty much stuck at his third-round ADP, and there was a lot to like about him coming off of last season, but I just didn't end up with too many shares. Unfortunately, I got a share or two in some high places, but when you took Isaiah Crowell this summer in round 3, you just didn't feel good about it. And the worst case scenario is happening here. The Browns are getting behind in ball games, abandoning that run pretty early, and that's leading to a low volume for him. And he's not getting a lot done yards per carry, just 3.7 this week, 12 carries for 44 yards against the lowly Colts defense. Sadly, that's the best effort of the season for Crowell. And the biggest number that's really glaring at me, last year on the season, he was in the top 10 of all running backs, with, and even a smaller, probably top 5 of running backs that actually had a large amount of volume, but with that solid 3.2 yards after contact. Through 3 weeks this season, his yak is sitting at 1.6, so literally in half of those yards after contact, and the chains just aren't moving there. Now with Kaiser in the mix, they can help move him on the ground. They can throw the ball out of the backfield in short pass situations to Duke Johnson, and as I said, the game flow is hurting Isaiah Crowell, but right now I'm looking at a guy that it's hard to trust him as a flex. I mean, flex at best in standard leagues. I think he really needs to play his way into your lineup. You can read about him and all my players rising up, rising down on, as I said, my article there, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Check out my work at Pro Football Focus. You can also catch me on weekends, host of Fantastics Insider Football, Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210 XM 87, and love getting you ready for game day there. Of course, we'll be back on Friday as well with our Happy Hour edition, is our Week 4 preview podcast coming your way early Friday afternoon. But right now, here's the thing. 3 weeks are in the bag. So there's a lot of 1-2 and 2-1 teams out there. Certainly a fair amount of 3-0 and 0-3 teams. And how do you deal with that? I mean, first of all, this is a dangerous spot of the season, especially if your league only has like 4 of its 12 teams, let's say, make the playoffs, a smaller playoff field, because you can get out to that fast start and sort of get complacent on the waiver wires, the need to make some trades potentially. You get a little satisfied there in that false sense of comfort level, and you end up missing out on some things. So even if you're 3-0, let's not get too comfortable. Let's not do anything drastic. I mean, you don't need to make any stupid trades. You're definitely playing things a little safer to the vest. But at the same time, don't just go ahead and count your fantasy prize money or go ahead and put that fantasy trophy on your shelf just yet, because there's a lot of work ahead. If you're 0-3, well, now you really, this may be the time to start panicking. You need to get aggressive. If there's a waiver wire guy out there that you really want to go after, this might be the time to start bucking up. Or, you know, if you've got a couple studs and some depth at one position, now's the time to certainly start making trades. Now, that doesn't give you the green light just to go do a bunch of stupid stuff just to do it. It still has to make sense, but there's certainly ways to deal with 3-0. As there are ways to deal with 0-3. Let's check out some of the injuries to watch, and as always, plenty of them to talk about. We'll start with Seattle wide receiver Doug Baldwin. He is still trying to see the groin is what the injury is, but the severity of it is still in question as we talk to you here on Monday night. Pete Carroll didn't give much of an update today, but it's believed it's not as bad as it could be, so Ian Rappaport reported the groin stain isn't believed to be serious, but we're still waiting for some tests to come back here. His week 4 status certainly looking shady, and that's unfortunate because the Seahawks host the Colts on Sunday night, so you're really hoping that Baldwin could be on the field for that juicy matchup here, but this is one owners are going to have to look and pay attention to if Baldwin does miss some time. I mean, they're going to turn to Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett. Graham was banged up. He played through it. So we'll wait and see, but this is definitely one of the biggest injuries I'm watching as we head into this week. Kelvin Benjamin, on the other hand, we do have a little bit more word on the Panthers wide receiver. He had that Saints matchup we were all firing him up for this week, and unfortunately was unable to finish that game. It looked rather gruesome there, too, at first when he was bent backwards, a knee issue. At this point, though, no structural damage being reported to Benjamin's knee, so that's a positive. That's definitely a good news type of scenario. That means we could end up seeing him back at some point, but I doubt he's there in week 4. Melvin Gordon, the Chargers running back, he's battling his own problems as well, and the reports are optimistic on him. They're calling it a minor bone bruise. He did only play in 92% of the Chargers' offensive snaps due to this injury here in week 3, but we'll see. He reportedly suffered in practice last week, so I think as they inch closer to game day, hopefully he'll get closer to 100% and probably suit up against Kansas City here in week 4. Can't say the same for Darren Sproles, and this could be the end of the veteran's career. At first, it looked like it was just going to be a knee injury a wrist injury that was going to sideline him, but apparently on the same play, he broke his hand and tore his ACL. The ACL injury is a season ender and a veteran on the back nine anyway. It's unfortunate for Sproles, but this could be the end. He's definitely out for 2017. LeGarrette Blount became relative all of a sudden. He definitely was the guy near the goal line. I think Wendell Smallwood's the more natural fit. We'll get into him on the waiver wire, but if you have Sproles on your team, it's time to go ahead and cut him. He's not going to be back this season. Sam Bradford, he didn't play for a second straight week. Unlike week 2, though, in week 3, Case Keenum looked very capable. They're still calling Bradford day-to-day, but his week 4 status unclear. It's not unclear in week 4 for Andrew Luck, the Colts quarterback dealing with his shoulder issue, already ruled out again. NFL Network reported on Sunday morning that Luck is targeting week 6 for his return. And head coach Chuck Pagano has suggested Luck could resume practice sometime this week. the Redskins, calling both Jordan Reed with his chest issue as well as Rob Kelly day-to-day. Both players, actually, Reed's got about three injuries, so I don't know exactly which one's causing him this. But Kelly dealing with the ribs. Both were inactive on Sunday night. It does look like they're day-to-day and hopeful that they can suit up for next week's game there on Monday night. In terms of Tyler Eifert and the Bengals tight end, and I mean, God, does it surprise me? No, it doesn't look like Eifert in his contract year, dealing with a back and knee issue, completely uncertain where and it's going to return. He told reporters he's not going to talk about his injury until he's able to play, so I guess he's going to be quiet for a while. If you got this guy in a 10 or 12 team league, it's time to cut bait. I have given up hope that he's ever going to be able to stay healthy. Let's wrap up our week three conversation here with handing out our Get Sports Info podcast game balls here. We got our Game U Sock Award as well. We'll start with the good. We'll start at quarterback and our first game ball going out to Tom Brady once again. Five amazing games of football we saw in this week at the quarterback position, I believe, or actually, check that. There were four players that finished above 30 points, another bundle of them right at that 30-point mark. So a lot of game balls, but Brady with his five touchdown passes leading the way, 378 yards, completed 25 of 35 passes, and really just looked laser sharp. Hit Cooks twice, Hogan twice, Gronk as well. It was everybody. And I'm going to go ahead and give a game ball to the rookie, Deshaun Watson, too. I mean, talk about another player that really getting it done there. He leads the NFL in all quarterback rushing yards, and right now he is dead smack QB14 in over through 3 weeks. Despite not starting the first game, he's already outscored Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, and Cam Newton, to name a few. I really like what he did. He's going to get my other game ball. Russell Wilson's worthy of a game ball. Not going to go through the stats. And you got to get game balls out to Brian Hoyer, Case Keenum, Deshaun Kizer, Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett, Eli Manning. We're hanging out. You can put up a 30 spot, we'll give you a game ball. Let's go to the running back position. Not as many top-line performers there, but still some big performances. Obviously, the Thursday night performance by Todd Gurley is what everybody's talking about. Kareem Hunt continues to do it again. But I'm going to give a game ball to the guy that, quite frankly, I was bashing a week ago. And you know what? If I talked you out of starting Jordan Howard, I'm sorry, but you should be glad that he did it because he resurrected his fantasy value. I might even think about shopping him right now, seeing if you can get something of value for him. Not saying that I don't think he still could be RB2, but I think last week was the ceiling. We've seen the floor, and we're probably going to end up with something in between. But 23 carries, 138 yards, a pair of touchdowns, plus five catches for 26 yards. He gets our running back game ball. Wide receiver game ball, definitely to Stephon Diggs and Brandon Cooks. I'm going to each give them, and Sammy Watkins. All of these guys blowing it up with a pair of touchdowns, over 100 yards, eight catches, 173 on 11 targets for Diggs, who is, after 3 weeks, fantasy's top receiver. And looks like he's quarterback proof at this point. I'm not going to let Case Keenum keep him out of the lineup. Maybe I won't expect him to do it at this level, but he certainly earned a starting spot until further notice. At the tight end, let's give our tight end game ball out this week, and we're going to have to give it to Mercedes Lewis. I mean, are you kidding me? Three touchdowns on his four catches. I cannot believe the Jaguars really putting it to Baltimore like they did in London. I'm not suggesting Lewis is worth a waiver wire grab at this point. We're keeping our eyes on him. I guess at tight end, you're a little desperate, but pretty good. Pretty good. He gets our game ball there. Our Game U Sock Award. Who's going to get it this week? So many candidates. And, you know, it's hard to really get too angry at different things or players. But, you know, Derrick Henry and the whole way the Tennessee Titans worked out, I'm giving him my Game U Sock because he teased us last week. Then they came back with DeMarco Murray, supposedly hurt. But Henry, who I helped put in a lot of lineups on Sunday, finished with just 54 yards on 13 carries, a 6.4 fantasy points, reminding us that once again, he can be very, very disappointing. And beast mode, you're also going to get a game, you sock. The entire Raiders offense should be for that performance on Sunday night. Derek Carr, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, I'm giving you guys all of it. Lynch just 6 carries for 18 yards. The entire Oakland Raiders get my game, you sock award this week. Let's turn it over now to waiver wire news. Week number four as we turn to it. Who's out there on that waiver wire? Who do you want to get a piece of? And, you know, I'll tell you, last week I wasn't very overwhelmed with waiver wire options out there. I think a lot of the same names are staying out there and surface. Jared Goff, still just 5 to 10% owned across the industry. This guy is worth a pickup if you need a backup quarterback. Get him in there in the matchups. Really love what he's doing with Sean McVay tutoring him. And same thing with Deshaun Watson. We talked about him before, but he's clearly going to start now for Houston. And with the rushing ability he brings to the table, I think he's a guy that you really want to have, especially if you're in a league where you've got an let's say 18 roster spots. You can carry that extra quarterback. He's a guy that could come in on those matchups and really be worthwhile. I think the best running back to bid on this week has to be Wendell Smallwood. I mean, with me talking about Darren Sproles breaking his arm, tearing the ACL. Yeah, we see what LeGarrette Blount can do. He's going to get the touchdowns, but I think Smallwood is out there probably, even in competitive leagues, about 70% of them. I think he's the top pickup this week, a guy at running back that it's probably going to get 10-plus touches a game with a chance to take it over if he can perform. So we're going to keep our eyes on the Melvin Gordon situation. Brandon Oliver becomes very appealing to me if Gordon misses time. And let's not disregard what Alex Collins did last week in that blowout mop-up time, 82 yards and 9 carries. I'm not convinced Terrence West is anything special, so I'm not picking him up yet, but I'm keeping my eyes on things there. At wide receiver, I mean, we've seen some injuries, so I guess Funchess is worth looking at with Benjamin. But the receiver I'm really keeping my eyes on and maybe making a move at this week, Sterling Shepard. I mean, 7 for 133 and a touchdown on 7 targets on Sunday. Definitely is a guy that probably should be rostered at this point in most 12-team leagues. Not necessarily a weekly lineup option, but a handy bye week filler. It's appearing Brandon Coleman might be. He only had one pass Sunday, but it did go for 11 yards. And that's now a guy that's gotten some touchdowns there. Willie Snead is obviously the best waiver wire pickup at receiver. If he was dropped coming off his 3-game suspension, you're going to have him at your disposal as well. So just keep that in mind. At tight end, I still think it's Charles Clay. I mean, he's consistently getting involved around the goal line, seeing a fair amount of targets. He's very consistent. If you need a tight end, he's probably the best one out there. Mercedes Lewis, I'm not holding my breath for him. So those are just some of the names. Other names you want to hit me on, you can do so on Twitter at Dan Claskins. Otherwise, we'll be back in again for the Friday Fantasy Happy Hour here on the Get Sports Info podcast, getsportsinfo.com. Be sure to subscribe to that. You can catch me on Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 here in Cincinnati, Thursday at 4:45. That's on the SoundCloud as well. So if you subscribe to the podcast elsewhere, go to the SoundCloud. You get the Mo Egger segment as well. And, of course, catch me on Fox 19 on Friday mornings there talking your fantasy football as well. That's all the time I've got today. I'm out of time and I'm fresh out of breath. But I'll be back to talk more fantasy football with you real soon right here on the Get Sports Info podcast. I'm gonna get down.